Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy.
Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy.
To you I lift up my eyes, who are enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of servants are on the hands of their masters.
Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy.
As the eyes of a maid are on the hands of her mistress, so are our eyes on the Lord our God, till he have pity on us.
Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy.
Have pity on us, O Lord, have pity on us, for we are more than sated with contempt. Our souls are more than sated with the mockery of the arrogant, with the contempt of the proud.
Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weakness, in order that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, and among his own kin and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And of course, I'm here, but Dawn, we're so close yet so far away.
We're connected again by the internet. A few weeks we were in the same room, but now
I know it makes editing so much easier when we're in the same room.
So, Brian, where are you today?
I am at St. Ambrose, which is part of Peace of Christ Parish in Rochester.
Your new assignment.
My new assignment. I'm at day one. Still within my first 24 hours, I am in an office that, as I said, is smaller than the restroom in the pack, and it is a mess right now. So I've just cleared off some space and put my computer down and said, let's do a podcast.
Well, I'm in my office, which is huge, but it's also a mess.
That's right. That is true. I can vouch for that. I won't even pretend to deny that.
But you don't need to rub it in either.
But, well.
So, what did you find interesting in these readings today?
Well, I found a couple things interesting. Actually, one of the readings I liked was the second reading.
Me too.
I always like that one. It kind of Paul's reminder that he's got this thorn in his side and he wants it taken away, but it's not. He can't get too elated. Mm-hmm. His grace is sufficient, even though he's got his weaknesses, that kind of thing. So I like that, where he says, you know, I will boast of my weakness. In there, I'm content with my weaknesses. In this one, he says, insults, hardships, persecution, constraints for the sake of Christ. Mm-hmm. For when I am weak, I am strong. I love that line, because I think really that's one of the lessons we learn in the event of the cross, if you will, is that a lot of times what seem as weaknesses, or what indeed might be human weaknesses, God can work with them and turn them into strengths. And often they become strengths precisely because of that, precisely because we are forced to admit our own weakness or something. And so we're forced to allow God to work through us because it's something we can't overcome ourselves. The danger is if God made it so that, you know, we could overcome every one of our weaknesses, we could confuse ourselves with God.
You mean that's a bad thing. God?
That's right. And that's a bad thing. So it's, sometimes it's good to have that reminder that we are dependent on God. And a lot of times we don't see our own weaknesses that way as being opportunities to be reminded of that. Or sometimes we wish God wouldn't remind us so often. But he does. And I thought that really struck me.
You know, that when I read through it the first time, I thought of there's a popular Christian music song. It's called Your Grace Is Enough, and it's actually written by a guy named Matt Maher, and he's a Catholic musician, and it talks
future
about...
Future husband, right?
If I could marry someone, and if he knew where I was alive, he would be the person I would like to marry. But anyhow, that's aside.
So if anybody knows Matt Maher...
Okay, this is getting way too uncomfortable, but it talks about your grace is enough for me, and it reminds you... about how faithful God is, and that we wrestle with things, and, you know, we can't do it all on our own, and we can't have everything, but your grace is enough for me at this moment. And sometimes that's a hard thing to say and to really believe. You want more, but we have to be able to say that your grace is enough, and it is enough.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's really the important thing to focus on too, because so often we can begin to focus on the negative rather than the positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do need to have that constant reminder that we're supposed to focus on the faith.
Right.
And then we're supposed to have faith, which apparently the people did not have in the gospel. You like my smooth transition?
That
there?
Was awesome.
And that is one of the hard things, I think, because I can certainly understand the position of the people in the gospel. You know, last week you talked about the imaginative style of prayer,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And actually it's funny because the place where I was, the person who preached on that, it wasn't me. And so I listened to your podcast. I said, boy, this person must listen to our podcast as well. But of course they took it in a direction that I wouldn't have gone. But I think it is a powerful style of prayer. And one of the things that I was thinking about is how easy it would be to be like the people in this village.
Oh, sure.
Because certainly when you know somebody and you grow up with them, even if it is God incarnate, it might be hard to distinguish that if he's completely veiled himself in the human experience, as
right.
Jesus did. And so you begin to say, well, you know, who does this person think he is? I mean, we know his mom, we know his brothers and sisters, you know, who the heck does he think he is? And I think that could be a very real thing. The other thing, though, that I think is important to remember is certainly we've got stories of God working miracles, and I don't want to minimize that. But also God is at work in the ordinary things
right.
in our daily lives. And I think that's something that the people missed, that they got so used to Jesus being there and being around him that they lost the sense of God is working in this person, or God is this person, but in the case of Jesus. But how often do we just take so many things for granted
mm-hmm.
and not realize that God is at work in all of this?
Exactly. You know, that was what I was going to say. But, you know, the normative matter that God comes to us, it's in the ordinariness of our lives and the people we encounter and the places that we go. And it's just, it's Jesus in his hometown because we believe that God is in every one of us, and how quick we are to dismiss the ordinariness and just look for the huge miracles. Or, you know, the last 2 days we've had rainbows here in town, and so, you know, it reminds you of God. But what about just in the regular rain? Can we encounter God in that? And
exactly.
It's interesting.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, or probably months ago at this point, my brother had asked me, you know, why doesn't God work miracles like he did in the Bible all the time? And I told him, I said, you know, first of all, he does. I mean, you look around, there are things. I mean, like we had Padre Pio not too long ago. You've got what's going on in Medjugorje and things. So he does. I said, the problem is, I said, when you read the Bible, I said, those stories were written because they were miracles. I said, that's why they wrote them. It wasn't like this was happening every day. I said, if it was happening every day, they probably wouldn't have ever written them down. You know? I said, but those are the types of things that get written down and recorded, certainly, but it doesn't mean that God's not present elsewhere. And certainly many accounts in the Bible also remind us that God is indeed present elsewhere.
You know, what I found funny at the end of this gospel, though, it says, so he was not able to perform any mighty deeds apart from curing a few sick people.
Yes.
Those few sick people, they had a lot to be
aside from those few miracles, he didn't perform. He has performed average miracles there.
Oh, but I completely, it's, I like how the Mark says that he was amazed at their lack of faith, you know. You can just picture, what is wrong with them, you know, they're rejecting the very thing, the very person that's bringing them life, and so.
Yeah, and I think you're right, that's it too, and that I think is a poignant question for us, though, is because, you know, we might not see miracle after miracle after miracle every day of our life. Is Christ going to be amazed at our faith, or is he going to be amazed at our lack of faith? And I think that's something each one of us needs to, you know, really focus on in our own lives, saying, do I have faith that in these ordinary situations, in these ordinary circumstances, that God is in control and that he is still working here.
Very much so. Now, also in this gospel reading, we have something that I have a question about. We have Mary, and it's talking about Jesus, his brothers and sisters. And so I'm a little confused, Brian, because I thought Mary was ever virgin. And so what's going on here?
Yes, there are more incarnations. No, sorry.
That's in those other gospels.
That's right. No, what it is we do hold that Mary was ever virgin, as you say, so, and Jesus would be her only child because of that. She didn't pull off more immaculate, or not immaculate conception,
no,
but more, that refers to something else, but more, you know,
incarnations,
virgin births, anything like that. And what goes on here is in the word in the Greek that's used for brothers and sisters can also mean cousins. Ultimately, we have to say we don't know whether it's – we know that it's not children of Mary. But we don't know. There's been some speculation that these could be children from Joseph, from a previous marriage of Joseph's. There's speculation that it could be cousins, that it could be, you know, extended family. And ultimately, scholars debate that, and different theologians have different opinions on it. But anyone who's operating within the Catholic tradition in the Catholic faith would certainly hold that they are not the children of Mary, but they are either the children of Joseph from a different marriage, a cousin of cousins of Jesus, so not related at all, as a brother and sister in the sense that we would say it in modern English. But the word itself is vague, and it doesn't refer to a specific, you know, brother and sister the same way we do. You'd also call your cousins that.
Okay.
So, Don, you would have a lot of brothers and sisters.
Oh, you betcha. Very interesting.
Yes. So just not to get people worried or worked up, Mary did just have Jesus, and that was her only son and only child.
Yeah. Good to know.
Yes. And I think we're coming to the end of our podcast, Dawn. And I have a meeting to run off to, and you probably have things going on as well. But hopefully people will run off to wherever they're running off to and join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.